So I just want to continue with my Heilige Talmud, Yidinash, here we saw Shalom Alter, said about Rabbi Yaakov. But before that, now I could be Paisimuch L'Chzanya. Your Chzanya is the Eibishter. All of our Chzanya is the Eibishter, but L'mayis, we have this chus to be in this house. And just for one moment, just realize something. This is a house, it's a schus just to be in the house. Forget about all the singing and the Torah and the chizik. Just to be sitting in this house, Matzei Shabbos, for every single one of us, that itself, it was worth coming for. If we all got up and left right now, no emes. No, we shouldn't. I'm here to hear Rabbi Yaakov as well. Maybe I'll share a few words after, or I'm asked to, we'll see. But emes, if we walked out right now, it was worth coming, just to see, chevra. Here's a tzaddik that literally just a few days ago saved a life. I don't know how many of us could say that. Like Mamish gave life to another person. He decided to put himself in a difficult situation, go through Yisurin to save a life. And give away one of his kidneys to save someone else.
Was there mine?
It's MS, you're right. That's the equally true when you're MS, but the mice and most don't know that. No, but here we are, wait. Here we are just like a couple weeks later, and he's gonna open up his whole house to all of us. He's still far from fully recovered, far from it. Whatever he'll put on the show for us and look good, far from it. That alone just says what type of bias this is. And for him, and for his Rebbe, and for Dani, for his Tati, for Hashi, alone, just to be here to understand the type of bias we're in, it's Kodesh Kedoshim. It's also supposed to be here to be with Rabbi Yaakov. You know, what Yisrael Shaman Alter said, how back then he was able to see already. So I'm the same way. You know, Yaakov, he didn't attend DRS. Somehow we got very close already in high school. And I'll never forget my whole life dancing together with Yaakov Simchas Torah. And it was then that I knew, just looking at, seeing his eslavis, seeing his neshama come out in the way that he danced.
Apostle to Sefer Torah.
That's MS, it's a true story. Nobody knew till now who it was. It was the two of us together probably, but that's another discussion. Don't tell Jari Heshi. Anyways, Lemaisa, I saw it then as well. But this whole week for Rabbi Yaakov to come out and to finish this Sefer and to come to our area to share his pnimius, to share his neshama, I was thinking about it earlier today. It's a little bit like the Baal Shem HaKadosh. What I mean by that? Let me just explain. For those who don't know Rabbi Yaakov yet, you're going to know him. And the emes is for years he's already been doing big things. And in Chicago, in his own learning, in the chaburas that he's been giving, in the people he's been helping, comes a time where you have to say, okay, it's time to open up. It's time to open up. So the world is lucky that Yaakov decided to open up now. Through the Sefer, through these Fabrengens, through, you'll see it's going to be much more. You're going to remember you were here tonight. You know, I have a very close friend that's a psychologist. His name is David Mark. Some of the chaver knows him. Made a bar mitzvah today, actually. Baruch Hashem, Yehuda. And we talk all the time. And he knows MS. And he tells me, we talk all the time and try to find how the world of psychology is seen in the Torah. Because anything that's MS in psychology has to be rooted in Torah. Because anything that's MS in the world is rooted in Torah. And I don't know anyone who understands that more than Yaakov. And therefore, everything in here is all Kodesh Kedoshim, is all Pnimius, and it might say words of psychology from different big psychologists of names I don't know, I'm not familiar with, but he is. But it's all from the Rabbeinu Shalom. But he was able to put this in writing for us, because often we don't necessarily see it in the Torah. And we need others to glean from the Torah and bring the messages home for us so that we can live our lives and not just learn Torah, but live Torah. And be attached to the Rabbeinu Shalom. There's a story how Reb Shlomo Karbach, when he was a little boy, one time they were looking for him. He was a little boy, he was like 5, 6 years old, and they couldn't find him. And eventually they found him on the roof of his house. Found him on the roof. And they asked him, "What are you doing, Shlomo? What are you doing up on the roof?" I was trying to connect to the Rabbona Shlomo, I was trying to find Hashem. Such a beautiful story of this little boy. We understand Reb Shlomo later found Hashem. And we all have to understand that we don't need to be lo b'shamayim hi. Yet Shamayim Shamayim l'Hashem, there's an image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but our avodah is to be attached to l'dav kabo, right here, right now. Not to have to go to the roof. Rabbi Yaakov is bringing that to us. Rabbi Yaakov is bringing us and helping us find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be attached to Rabbona Shalom. And when we're one with Hashem, all that we find is simcha, and all that we find is bracha. This is chus that we have Rabbi Yaakov to share. I'm sure some of the sefer and some of his panimis with us.
Shkach. Thank you. It's hard to speak in between Rabbi Cohen speaking. Hopefully he'll speak again after. But so first off, I feel like a terrible person because of the fact that Sam is doing this right now. But it's really Sam's fault because he didn't tell me. We planned this whole thing without me realizing when this was happening, what was going on. So who asks a friend to host their event like days after they donate a kidney? That's not like a very normal thing.
Almost 3 weeks.
Okay, but it probably feels, yeah, whatever. It's still, yeah. Anyway, so I'm sorry. That's my disclaimer. I had no idea. But yeah. So there's a lot of people here that family of mine is here, some old friends are here, it's really good to see. And it brings to mind a story that I've really been living with a lot. I'll tell you why I've been living with this, and then why in particular it comes up in this context. There's a maisa that I love about Rav Baruch of Mezhbizh. This is like my favorite story. Rav Baruch of Mezhbizh used to say about himself, apparently, that he used to say about himself that when I go up to Shemayim after Mayav Esrim, when I'm in the Olam HaEmes, they're not going to know what to do with me. They're not going to know what to do with me because I'm going to get there and they're not going to send me straight into Gan Eden because I'm not a Tzaddik Gamor, so I'm not going to go straight into Gan Eden. But I'm also not a Rasha Gamor, so they're not going to send me straight into Gehenim. So I'm going to be somewhere in between the gate of Gan Eden and the gate of Gehenim, somewhere in between heaven and hell. And I'm going to be sitting there. And the Beis Din Shamayla, the heavenly court, is going to be deliberating what to do with me. And I'll be sitting there in no man's land, somewhere between Gehenim and Gan Eden, and they're going to be deliberating what's supposed to be with this guy. So Rav Baruch Mezhbizh said, but I have a plan. My plan is that I have a unique niggun that I sing when I say Tehillim. So I'm going to start saying Tehillim, and I'm going to start saying Tehillim with my song, with my niggun. And deep within Gan Eden, David HaMelech is going to hear his words, the words from his neshama of Tehillim being sung with a niggun that he's never heard before. So he's going to be intrigued. He's going to be curious. What is this? What's this niggun? Who is this person? So David HaMelech from deep within Gan Eden is going to start walking towards the gate of Gan Eden to come sit and see what's going on. And if David HaMelech gets up from his spot in Gan Eden and starts walking to leave, people are going to notice. So Avram Avinu is going to see David HaMelech walking and he's going to be curious too. So he's going to join him. And if Avram Avinu and David HaMelech are walking somewhere and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai sees them, he's also going to be curious. Where are they going? So he's going to join them too. And then Moshe Rabbeinu is going to wonder where are they all going. And Bikiva is going to notice. And the Vilna Gaon is going to notice. And the Baal Shem Tov is going to notice. And they're all going to start pouring. Once it happens, it happens. They're all going to start coming. And they're going to sit. They're going to sit together with me while I'm saying Tehillim somewhere stuck between Gehenim and Gan Eden. And so Baruch HaMezhbizh said, and at that point, sitting there singing with all these tzaddikim, with that type of chevra, so to speak, sitting there, what difference does it make to me if I'm in this side of the gate or that side of the gate? It's already Gan Eden. And to me, what Rav Baruch HaMezhbizh is saying is so incredibly powerful. And it's the inyan, the avodah that I've been trying to live with now. Because what I think he was saying had nothing to do with Olam Haba. I think he was talking about right now, at least for me, in this world. Because I don't know about you, but I know for myself, I'm the type of person that's always thinking there could be something better. like whatever I'm doing, like, okay, it could be better. It could have done, it could have gone better. It could have been done differently. I should have done it better. You know, I'm writing this book. I mean, it's like tormenting of like, oh, I should have done this way. I should have done it better. This didn't come out the way. Like it's endless. It's always that there's something that could have been better. I should have ordered something else on the menu. You know, like there's always some better version out there. There's always something in Gan Eden. There's always a Gan Eden on the other side of the fence that I'm waiting to get to. And the reality is that the entirety of our lives, the entirety of our lives, we are living somewhere between Gan Eden and Gehenim. Because in this world, nothing is ever perfect. So nothing is ever Gan Eden. Nothing's ever perfect in this world. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as something being perfect in this world. But it's also never completely Gehenim Dick either. It's never completely awful. There's always something that can be found, something positive, even in the worst of things. So it's never completely Gan Eden, it's never completely Gehenim. We're always all stuck. This is what Rav Baruch Meshgesh was saying. We're all sitting somewhere, the entirety of our lives, somewhere between the gates of Gan Eden and the gates of Gehenim. And the question is, instead of always looking to get to the other side of the gate, waiting for that to happen, right, when I get, you know, again, I'm speaking for myself. When I'm not working for someone else and I have my own private practice, then I'll feel good about myself. Right? Now I'll feel like I'm legitimate, right? But then I get there and I still don't feel legitimate. And then it's, so, you know, when I write a book, you know, now I'll feel like, okay, now I'm somebody, right? And then I write a book and it feels like I'm nobody. And then it's like, oh, you know, when I get a tish with Arya Cohen, like then I'll, you know, then I'll feel like I'm a somebody, right? And it's very chashuv to have a tish with Arya Cohen, but I still feel like a nobody, right? And you know, there's always something else. And then every time you get there and you're about to take it, it like slips out of your hand and goes further down the field. And like, you know, when I have a certain amount of money, like now I'll arrive, you know? When I live in a certain size house, now I'll arrive. When I have a certain amount of kids, now I'll arrive. And then you never arrive, or at least I never arrive. It never feels like I've arrived. And instead, the avodah is to say, forget what's on the other side of the fence. The point is that I can make it happen right here. Instead of trying to think what's on the other side of the fence over there and what's on the other side of the fence over there, it's just where I am right now. Being in it and turning that into Gan Eden already. Turning it into the Gan Eden to the point where at some point, if I really turn it into Gan Eden, as Rav Baruch Meshgesh said, what's the difference if I'm on that side of the fence or this side of the fence? It's already happening right here. So as a person who struggles a lot with that inyan, I've really been trying to live with that idea, with that inyan, that avoda. But there's a particular part of that story that I never really thought much about, that on this trip, because I'm originally from the New Jersey area, and I have a lot of old close friends from this area, and family and friends, and I moved to Chicago almost 10 years ago, and I don't get to see them so often, you know? And on this trip, my intention of coming on this trip was to try and share some of what I've been doing and things like that. But what happened, kind of memela from the trip, but the memela turned into the ikker. It was intentionally a tafel, but it became the ikker. Was that I just been reconnecting with like old friends, and it's been the most amazing thing in the world. And because of that, what the aspect of this maisa of Rav Baruch Meshgesh that really came to life for me on this trip was how did he turn the no man's land between Gan Eden and Gehenim into Gan Eden? How did he do it? Right. So the avoda is to turn where you are into being already Gan Eden. But how? How did he do it? And he did it by assembling a chevra. That's how he did it. The way that he said he made it to the point where I don't care if I'm on this side of the fence or that side of the fence was because he surrounded himself by the people that he wanted to be surrounded by. And that's really what the feeling is when you're with people that the connection goes so deep, and to be with a Rebbe, to be with friends, to be with family, and the new faces, but feel connected. It's that's already Gan Eden right there. That's already Gan Eden, and that's really what the idea that I've been trying to share and sharing in the book and in the other things that I'm doing. That's really the inyan of the whole mahalach, the attachment, the attached. Because what it's really about is relationships. Attachment theory is an idea in psychology, which is absolutely, as Rav Cohen was saying, is absolutely an emestic Torah idea. And the idea, the truth is, somebody in Chicago, Rabbi Elisha Prero, showed me this medrash that I didn't know when I wrote the book. And it's kind of a shame because it's like, it's mamish, like the basis of the whole book. But I didn't know it. So now I've been sharing it bal peh. The Medrash is amazing. So you know there's the famous Chazal, Be'asar Ma'amaros Nivra Ha'olam, that the world is created with 10 expressions of speech, that Hashem created the world with 10 acts of speech. That's how Hashem created the world. But class, famously, we have a problem. If you count the Vayomers in the 6 days of creation, how many Vayomers are there? There's 9. So we're missing one. We're missing one. The Gemara asks this question. So the Gemara and one of the answers in the Medrash, which is the more well-known answer, is Breishis Nami Maimarhu. The Breishis Nami Maimarhu, that the word Breishis also somehow counts as an act of Vayomer. How is that? So that's Mefarshim discuss. But what I didn't know is that there's a second answer in the Medrash, and this is just incredible. Incredible. The second answer in the Medrash is that the 10th Vayomer is not that we missed one from the beginning of Breishis. It's that after Hashem completes the creation of the whole, the Shemaim and the Aretz and everything, and then he creates man as the last creation, incorrect. Man was not the last creation. The last creation is Vayomer Elokim Lo Tov Heyos Adam Levado. That Hashem said it's not good for man to be alone, which I've always read. I probably never actually thought about it, but now looking back and thinking how I implicitly thought about it, the way that I thought about it was Hashem creates the world, and now Hashem is making an observation about the world, right, so to speak. It's as if Hashem is pointing something out to us, like, here's creation, and by the way, realize it's not good to be alone in this world that I just created. So lo tov yasam alvado, I realize that now, so let me make man a wife to give them a relationship, right? But according to this medrash, what it's saying is that that's not the way to read it. Lo tov heyos adam levado, that it's not good to be alone, is part of creation. It's actually it's a creation. It's a being, right? It's part of the fabric of creation. It's not an observation about creation. It's not a coincidental, ancillary, marginal. Oh, it turns out. By the way, that loneliness is not a good way to be in the world I created. That's not what's happening. What's happening is that lo tov heyos adam levado is part of the act of the basic building blocks of creation. That an essential aspect of the creation, the existence of the world, of the reality of living in this world, a fundamental pillar of the existence of the world is that people need relationships. Why do we need relationships? Why is it lo tov heyos adam levado? What does the pasuk say? Why is it not good to be alone? It's a trick question. It doesn't say. It doesn't say. It doesn't give a reason. And that's the point. That's attachment theory. Attachment theory, many, many, many years after the Medrash, finally came to realize, someone named John Bowlby came to realize, that the most essential need that humans have is relationships. It sounds so pashut. It sounds so pashut. But it really isn't. Because even if it sounds pashut, we're not necessarily so good at it. And we fall into thinking other things are really what we need. What we really need is relationships. Why do we need relationships? We don't need relationships because they give us things. We don't need relationships, I mean, that we need that also, but we don't need relationships just because they provide our needs. What attachment theory talks about is that we need relationships, be'etzem, I think is the language that John Bowlby used, right? Be'etzem. That it's minei ube. We need relationships for the relationship. Why is lo tov heyos adam levado? Because, that's it, because lo tov heyos adam levado. What do you need a relationship for? Because you need a relationship. The most basic need that we all have, and this is what Rav Baruch HaMezhu was saying, how do you create Gan Eden around you? You create Gan Eden by assembling people that you love. They wanted to call attachment theory love theory. They just were afraid they would get laughed out of the scientific world, so they couldn't call it love theory. They tried to give it some more technical sounding name, attachment theory. But attachment means love, it means relationships. The most basic need that we have, that every single one of us has, it's really very simple. You know, there's like the line, like everything you need to know in life you learned in kindergarten? It's really true. It really is. That's why the holiest place in the world is the kruvim, is the face of children. And we all have a child part of us. The child part of us knows that what we really, really, really need in life is very simple. We need to feel accepted. We need to feel loved. We need to feel wanted. We need to feel that we're connected to others, that we live in a state of companionship and connection, that we live in a shared experience with other people, and that we're not alone in this world. Because part of the very essence of creation is a reality of loneliness. Loneliness is not just a by the way thing that it's not good for you. It's an essential thing. It's the very essence of creation. they say about Rav Naftali of Rapshitz that he was like a real chacham, right? That he was known for being a very sophisticated person, right? And I forgot, maybe you know, I saw Rav Itchemeyer bring down a couple of years ago a maisa. I forgot who the tzaddik was that asked Rav Naftali of Rapshitz, Mehecha tesi in the Torah that there's an inyan to be a chacham? It's an interesting question, stam, right? What's the makar that there's an inyan to be a chacham, to be so sophisticated? So if Naftali of Rapshitz answered, well, there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Tamim tiyam Hashem l'kecha," that you should be a tam, you should be simple, and it takes a lot of chachma to be a tam. That's the makar for chachma in the Torah. It takes a lot of complexity. Therapy is a very complex art and science, but it's actually a complexity of just making everything as simple as possible, because it's really all incredibly simple. It's the kruvim. It's incredibly simple. That we're all constantly looking for the very same thing. We're looking to feel that we are in a state of relationship with other people, the same way that a child is. And as we grow up, it becomes so much more complicated because we complicate it, and because we're kind of embarrassed to admit that. We're embarrassed to admit that because in our world, in Western culture, self-sufficiency and independence is seen as this incredible value. This incredible value. One of the leading therapy world people right now is this person who, this woman who talks a lot about attachment theory. Her name is Sue Johnson. She has this line, she says, in Western culture, dependency is a dirty word. Dependency is a dirty word. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. We are all fundamentally dependent. We are all dependent on each other. We're dependent on each other in practical, surface-level ways, but much more deeply, we're dependent on each other because we actually need relationships. But because we think we're supposed to be self-sufficient, we're supposed to be such adults that are self-sufficient, and we're supposed to be independent, we're afraid, we're embarrassed to talk about those basic childlike needs that we all really have. We're all struggling with the same things of insecurity and self-doubt and anxieties and not feeling, am I good enough? And am I accepted? And do I have the relationships I want? These are the basic things that are all about leaning into being more dependent. Because when you open up about that, you can create relationships. Relationships with people that we don't want to show dependency, we don't want to show the insecurities and the vulnerabilities, have to stay at the surface. But if we're willing to show where we're lacking something, that we actually need the other person, then we create a space for them to come in. This is like they say in the name of Simcha Bonim Pshischa, or it goes back to the Yiddish Kadosh, or it's later in the Kutzker. It's from that school, you know, that they say that there's nothing more whole than a broken heart. Why is there nothing more whole than a broken heart? The union of Lev Nishbar. Because if you can allow space in your heart, then something else can come in. But if you can't allow any space, then nothing else can come in. It's the chachma of going back to being a tam, of allowing the most basic thing. There's a lot more to say, but maybe if I can, I'll just share one more idea on this inyan and then try and bring it out, and we can sing a little more, and then we can hear from Rav Cohen. I thought about this for years, this question, and then an idea came to me that I think might be true. So we say, Poseach es yadecho masbi alecho chai ratzon. Yeah? Right? Hashem opens his hands and gives to us. If you think of this imagery, Poseach, and what do we even do when we say it? We go like this, right? The sitter says, at least. You go like this, yeah? A little bit. If I go like this to you, what imagery does that connote? If I go like this, am I taking or giving? Taking. Right? Doesn't this look like I'm looking to take? I'm asking you to put something in my hand. So what does it mean, Poseach es yadecha, as the form of Hashem giving? Isn't that an imagery of taking? It should be, I don't know, poshet es yadecha, like you extend your hand. But what's poseach es yadecha? As Hashem giving to us. That's not Hashem giving, that's an imagery of taking. That's an act of taking. I don't know, anyone think about this? I never saw anybody ask this question, but I thought about this for years. And I was thinking maybe the answer, if this is right, I think it's pretty unbelievable. If you think about it, what's the greatest act of giving that ever happened in history? The greatest act of giving that ever happened in history is that a being who needed absolutely nothing decided to be a taker. Hashem. Maybe that too, but Hashem. The greatest act of giving that ever happened was Hashem creating the world. Because Hashem doesn't need anything from anybody. Hashem is perfect. Hashem has no needs. But if Hashem has absolutely no needs, then there's no space for existence of anything besides Hashem. There's no purpose in mitzvos. There's no reason for Hashem to give a Torah and to ask us to do things, to give us mitzvos and to create people and to create a world. There's no purpose to any of that. What role does any of that have? Hashem has absolutely no needs. So what role? Hashem is completely self-sufficient and independent. And if that's truly the ultimate value, so Hashem should have just stayed that way and not create anything. I'm self-sufficient. What do I need people for? I'm independent. What do I need a world for? I don't need to be totally dependent on anybody else. I don't need anything from anyone else. I'm going to ask people to do mitzvahs for me. I don't want to ask anyone to do mitzvahs for me. I'm independent. Hashem creating the world was actually kivyachol on some level, in some way, was Hashem saying, I'm choosing to be a taker. I want you to give me something. I want you to give me reach nichoach. I want you to give me mitzvos. I want you tnu oz lelokim. I actually want you to give me something. I want something from you. The greatest act of giving was an act of taking. Because by giving to us, excuse me, by taking from us is what gave us life. If Hashem never chose to be a taker, we wouldn't exist. Because there'd be no reason for us to exist. We can't ultimately understand why Hashem made that choice. But in some way, shape, or form, Hashem said, on some level, I want to be a taker. I want to be dependent on somebody else. And by doing that, he gave us life. Imagine at the end of some incredible, you know, performance of some world-class musician or incredible game that, you know, the best sports player played or whatever it is, or the greatest speaker at the end of their speech comes over to you and genuinely, like actually genuinely asks you, like, what did you think of how I did? Right, like LeBron didn't just like walk by and sign an article. Like he actually like asked you, like, "How did you think that you know that was? Like, what did you think of how I played?" Right, or whoever it might be. Right, that's an act of giving, in him taking. If he's actually taking from you, if it's disingenuous and he's not taking, then it doesn't feel like anything. But if he's genuinely actually taking from you, that would be an incredible act of giving, because you know how much chashivus you would feel in that moment. Hashem saying, "I want your mitzvos," is an act of taking. But that's the ultimate giving. Relationships are built on allowing ourselves to actually be takers, to actually have a lev nishbar, to actually have needs, to admit that, you know what, I'm not all that I think, that I'm not all that I portray myself to be. And I look like I have it all figured out, but I really don't. I have insecurities. I get scared when I'm alone. I get nervous about how somebody perceived me. I'm not sure. Am I really good at this? Am I not good at this? When we're willing to express those types of things, because we want other people's input, which is a form of taking, that's the ultimate giving, because now we're entering into relationship with them. We're giving them a space to actually have something to say to us. And that's children. Children do that naturally. Children do that naturally. That's the tamimus, the tam. That's the kruvim. But we're too embarrassed to do those kinds of things. That's what the Rav Shitzer was saying, is it takes a lot of chachma to get back to being a tam, to be able to do that. And that's how relationships are built. That's how relationships are built within a chevra, within people. And that's what a marriage is made up of. A marriage is made up of dependency that's embraced, that's not run away from. We're dependent on each other. We need each other's support. We need each other's love. And we lean into that, not run away from that. I'm not independent and I'm not self-sufficient. And ultimately, that's what Dveikus is, because who are we ultimately dependent on? We're ultimately dependent on the Eibishter, we're ultimately dependent on Hashem. But we're not just dependent on Hashem for Parnasa and Refuah and Shiduchim and all that stuff that we daven for, which is important, and it's good to be dependent on Hashem for those things too. And Halavai, we should always realize how dependent we are on Hashem for those things. But it's much more than that. We're dependent on Hashem because it's the ultimate relationship that we need. The ultimate answer to Lo Tov Heos Adam Levado is the Dveikus that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because any other attachment we have, any other relationship we have, is bound by time and space, and it's dependent on all those things. But the relationship we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that companionship, that attachment, is always and everywhere. And it's the ultimate answer to Lo Tov Heos Adam Levado. But to be able to experience that, we need to lean into that dependency, to lean in to those vulnerabilities, to go back to the tmimus of being a child and being open and willing to feel all those insecurities, the lev nishbar, the crack in the heart, so that there's room for something much, much bigger to come in. I think I saw this from Yaakov Meir Shechter. I'm not 100% sure, but he had a beautiful little ha'ara. You know, if you're reading Kriyas HaTorah and the Baal Kori gets up to a spot in the Torah and they're not sure if, like, the letter, you know, is the ches, does the ches look like a ches, or is it maybe missing, and you're not sure if it's two zions, and is the Sefer Torah apostle or not? So who do we call up to tell you if the Sefer Torah is apostle? We call up a child. So whoever it was that made this ha'ara, I think of Yaakov Meir Shechter's. Ultimately, who has the MS to tell us this is a Sefer Torah or not? It's the child. It's the child that every one of us holds, that every one of us contains, that hasn't gone anywhere. It hasn't gone away. The avoda is to get back to it. The avoda is to get back to it, to not think I have to be such a chacham, but the chachma is to get back to the tmimus. And to when we do that, so Hashem should help us, when we do that, and I feel that for myself, I could say I feel that right now. I'm very dependent on all of you. I feel very dependent on all of you. I don't know if this is a good book. I don't know if anything I'm saying is good. I feel very dependent, but that's a good thing because it makes me feel very close to you, and it means that you matter, and it means that we can be in a shared experience together. And sitting with somebody who was in attachment that probably the most vulnerable time in my life, and we barely even had a relationship other than the fact that we passed the Sefer Torah together. And you were there just like in a second, and Sam, all the Fabringans we had back in the Heights together, that's the Gan Eden that Rav Baruch of Mezhbish was talking about, that you can assemble if you lean into the vulnerabilities to allow other people to see what's actually going on, so that there's a space for them in your life, and that by doing that you're taking, but you're really giving, and the giving is the taking, and the taking is the giving, and that assembles the Chavraya Kadisha that creates the Gan Eden for you in your life. So we should be zocha, Hashem should help us, to always have the confidence to be insecure, to be strong enough to be weak, to be shalim enough in ourselves to know that none of us are ever shalim. Because when we do that, it helps us to be able to be open with others, to bring them into our life, and to feel that connection, that dveikus that we can have with other people, and ultimately, the dveikus that we can have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu.